your working in his life and that he would be encouraged by your word even this day. I pray for little Aurora. We praise you, Lord, for the fact that she's home now and the answer to prayer in that. But Lord, continue to entrust her to you and her growth and development. And Lord, we pray that you'd be working now in our outreach to this community. I think of the coming mission, Good News Missions trip this Thursday, and the preaching that those men will hear. I pray that you'll use our church to be a light and encouragement of the gospel to those that need it. I pray that you'll help us with that even here today, and that you'd be glorified in all that we do, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, take your Bibles and turn over to Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 1. And over the last couple of weeks on our Sunday school, we've been going through in each of the classes, the adult and teen classes, some truths in the book of Proverbs, and really kind of setting some foundation for your understanding of the book of Proverbs. And I've already gained personally from having some of these things established well as I go through the book of Proverbs on my own now. As I'm reading the book of Proverbs, there are things that stand out to me more because of my recognition of some of the structure and the way in which the book is written. And some of this is review. I'm not going to say I've never heard this before, but you're probably going to see things come more clearly to mind as you read through the book of Proverbs, as you understand what's being done and how it's being done. Have you ever marveled at how the Word of God is structured? Now think for a minute how the Word of God is structured so that you can understand things, so that it becomes clear. I've enjoyed in college some classes on teaching that I had and methods of teaching, but the book of Proverbs is structured in such a way to be an incredible help to the student to understand things. And it's thousands of years back that this incredibly powerful teaching was given, and it's still relevant for us today. The method of teaching that goes on in the book of Proverbs, we're going to consider a little bit this morning. And Proverbs 1 verse 7 is the verse we're going to kick off from. So if you've had Proverbs chapter 1 verse 7, let's read it together. And we're going to be considering who is a fool. Who is a fool? And notice with me, let's read out loud. Proverbs 1 verse 7. Would you read it with me? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Fools, what do you know about them? Who is the fool? Well, a fool is someone who does not like what? Instruction. They don't like to be told things. And there's an arrogance against that, as we'll see in just a little bit. Now, already we've studied the why, the how, and the what. The wisdom, the knowledge, and the understanding aspects of the book of Proverbs. And those things are going to keep coming up. One of the things that will come up as well are characters. Have you ever read a story and you've identified pretty early on who the characters are in the story? And the good writer helps you understand those characters and qualities about them. And over the next couple of weeks, we're going to be looking at some of the characters in the book of Proverbs. And one of them that you will find over and over is the fool. The fool. And in this study this morning, we're going to be seeing some of the contrast that exists between the fool and the wise man. And in the weeks ahead, the simple and the wise man. Between the scorner and the wise man. And those contrasts are important in the book of Proverbs. In fact, I want to just take a minute here and in your notes, point out some of the structure of the book of Proverbs. This is the techie side, okay? And it's good for you to know the techie because it'll explain what you're reading at times in the book of Proverbs. So in your notes there, Proverbs is largely made up of couplets. Couplets, C-O-U-P-L-E-T-S. Couplets. Two things put together. In Hebrew poetry, you might have heard that term before, Hebrew poetry, is different than poetry like you learned in school. It's different because instead of using meter and rhyme to help things fit together, it uses parallelism, things that are either contrasting or that go together or that build upon each other. And you'll see that as you read in the book of Proverbs, the parallelism. So, and does anyone still need notes that didn't get one yet? Did you guys get the notes? You got them? Okay. The first one, and I've got a Bible teacher that has outlined this, A.C. Gabellon, describes three kinds of parallelism. There are some that give four. We're going to look at three in particular. Number one is synonymous parallelism. Synonymous. How many of you remember what synonyms were in school? You're like, school. Why'd you bring up school, Pastor? Well, it's Sunday school, right? Synonyms. What are synonyms? Words that mean the same thing or along the same line. Yeah. In the second clause, so you've got a first clause that says something in a synonymous parallelism, and the second clause relates to what was given in the first. Look over at Proverbs 19 and verse 29. There's an example of this, and there are many in the book of Proverbs that are synonymous parallels. Proverbs 19, verse 29. If somebody has it, raise your hand, and I'll let you read it. Proverbs 19 and verse 29. Not all at once, y'all. Proverbs 19. Yes, sir, Gary. Okay, so it expresses the same thought. You recognize that? And it expresses it in a perhaps slightly different way, but it's the same thought being given in one first portion of that verse. In the second portion, it's giving it to you again. A second form of parallelism is antithetic. Antithetic, or you could say contrasting parallelism. Antithetic. We had synonyms in school. Remember what antonyms were? What's an antonym? The opposite word. And in antithetic parallelism, it's a statement which is given in the first clause, but it's made stronger in the second clause by a contrasting or opposite truth. Look over at Proverbs 13, verse 9. Proverbs 13, verse 9. And we see one there. Proverbs 13 and verse 9. Someone got that? Yes, Ms. Sherry. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked shall be put out. Okay, do you see the contrast there? There's a statement made, but the second clause is a contrasting of that in an opposite way, and it points it out. You can see that the second statement is stating something similar, but from the opposite point of view. And there's a contrast there. And then the third kind is synthetic. Synthetic, S-Y-N-T-H-E-T-I-C, synthetic parallelism. And the second clause in synthetic parallelism develops the thought of the first. And you say, this sounds really techie for Sunday school. Well, it's important because you're going to see these three kinds of parallels all through the book of Proverbs. Even in the book of Psalms, you're going to know it, and in other places of Hebrew poetry. Proverbs 20, verse 2 is an example of this, synthetic type of parallelism. Synthetic. Proverbs 20, verse 2. Yes, sir, Brother Macbeth. The fear of a king is as the roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger, sinneth against his own soul. Okay, so you see the contrast that's there, and it's building upon the first. And more so than contrast, it's a development of a statement that's made in the first. And one of the things that we're going to be looking at regarding the fool is the contrasting parallelism. And antithetic or contrasting parallelism is very common. In fact, I'd say it's the most common form of parallelism that you're going to find. And you learn by seeing contrast. It's not this, it's this. It's this, not this. That's a very helpful tool to learning. With kids, and by the way, on Sunday night, tonight, we're going to be looking at obedience. With obedience training with kids, even two-year-olds, there is a certain amount of, it's not this, it's this. It's this, not this, back and forth. And illustrating things helps us come to an understanding. You all have been taught, and some of the best teaching starts off with, don't do it this way, or this way, do it this way, this way, this way. And that contrast is very helpful to us. As long as you think something is gray or that there's no good or bad about something, you will tolerate stuff you shouldn't tolerate. Have you ever heard someone say, you can do it however you want to do it? About something that you really shouldn't do it however you want to do it. If you're working with electricity, for example, okay, I was watching a video this week for a project coming up, and I learned something. While you can do something one way, you might not should do something a certain way because you can break things or you could get hurt. Electricity, yes, you can do it that way, but there's something you could break while doing it. Shutting off the breaker while working on an air conditioner thermostat. I learned something this week. You could do the wiring without shutting it off, but if you touch the wires together, even though they're low voltage wires, you can mess something up on the unit. I learned that. I didn't know that. And a lot of times, the not knowing is where we get into trouble, isn't it? Oh, I didn't know that that would be the consequence. That's what the book of Proverbs does for us. It gives us an immense quantity of not this, 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 not this. And those contrasts are very, very helpful to us. One of the recurring contrasts is the characters found in the book of Proverbs. And I've already mentioned this. We're going to be seeing the fool today, the simple, the scorner, Lord willing, in the weeks ahead. And we might not get through the fool today. So we'll see how this goes. But we'll take a week, ideally, for each of these. And then we'll see the contrasting wise man at the end of this. Now, in your notes there, the definition of a fool, a person who rejects truth and lives in arrogance. A person who rejects truth and lives in arrogance, pride. Okay, Webster's 1828 dictionary is a very helpful tool. And I would just encourage you, if you have access to some study tools, Webster's 1828 dictionary is very helpful to even understanding words that are in your King James Bible or the context of things. And I love it because oftentimes it gives a scriptural context even to words, which is very lacking in our culture today. And Webster's 1828 dictionary defines a fool in scripture as a fool is often used for a wicked or depraved person, one who acts contrary to sound wisdom in his moral deportment, one who follows his own inclinations. That is a very good way to say it. Who prefers trifling and temporary pleasures to the service of God and eternal happiness. Well, that's a mouthful of a definition, but it sums up a lot of the things that you're going to learn in the book of Proverbs about a fool. Someone who lives to his own inclinations. I think this sounds like a great idea. I want to do this. I want to do this. Rather than knowing what the Word of God says. Psalm 14 says, "The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God." Okay? And that really defines where foolishness ends, is the attitude that says, I don't even have to believe that there's a God. Is there foolishness in our world today? Well, of course, it's all around us. And it's rooted in this denial of God. It is the, I don't want to accept this as truth. It is hard for you to ignore the fact that you have been created and that there is an order to this universe. But if you reject that, that's foolish. That's what foolishness is. It's a rejection of truth and a living in arrogance. I know what's right. I don't have to listen to anyone else. Number one, I should mention this. In the Old Testament, one of the ways that fool comes from, one of the Hebrew words it comes from, is the word Nabal. How many of you know who Nabal was in the Bible? Yeah, Nabal, the husband of Abigail. And he personifies that foolishness by the way he treats David and the way that he would have even lost his own life were it not for the work of his wife in helping him even though he's acting in foolishness. Nabal is an illustrator of that. And if you don't know the story of Nabal, look it up because we're not going to dive into that today. But Nabal is the word, one of the words that's used for fool. In our notes here, number one, a fool, first of all, hates directions from others. A fool hates directions. Now, have you ever not wanted directions? You know, oftentimes men are personified by this, aren't they? I don't need to stop for directions. Have you ever heard that expression used? Okay, why is that in us? Well, because we don't think we need it, right? Notice, look over at Proverbs 15, verse 5. Proverbs 15 and verse 5. I will tell you, men, one of the best things you'll do for your family, for your marriage, for your grandchildren, for other people in your life, is to admit you need direction. I know that's a blow, wasn't it? But it's a sincere truth. You help others when you admit, I do need direction. And look at Proverbs 15, verse 5. Does someone have Proverbs 15, verse 5? Oh. Brother Barry. Okay, so in your blanks, we're filling in some of these verses. A fool despiseth his father's instructions. He does not enjoy it. He doesn't want it. It's not, oh, Dad, you're giving me instruction. Thank you. No, he that regardeth reproof is prudent. You see the contrast, by the way, in that verse. That's an example of the contrasting or antithetic parallelism. Proverbs 18, verse number 2. Someone have Proverbs, and someone else can be looking up Proverbs 120. Well, I've got it in your notes there. Proverbs 122, I'll have someone else read. But Proverbs 18, verse 2, does someone have that? Proverbs 18, verse 2, yes, sir. Okay, what kind of attitude does the fool have? No delight. No delight in understanding. A fool does not find understanding as something to be enjoyed. A fool hates directions. He is not saying, I really want to learn. Now, that looks very clear to us in the world that we live in. They're no delighting in truth. Are the doors of this building just being filled with people trying to get in this morning to hear the truth? No. Is YouTube doing poorly right now? Now, is there truth on YouTube? Perhaps. Sure, there's preaching there. But are people flooding the gates of all kinds of information that's not true? Oh, yeah, they will rush towards that. Why is it that they are not rushing the gates of this church to get in? Why are they not rushing the doors to get in here and hear the truth? Because foolishness doesn't want to hear. Foolishness doesn't find delight in that. If I gave out free tickets to the buffet in town, you know, handed them out on the street, do you think people are going to be like, oh, I don't really like food? Okay, maybe if it's a bad buffet. But if it's Gray's, I haven't been to Gray's yet. I know, I'm horrible Indiana resident. So, but if someone was giving out free tickets to Gray's, right, would everyone be like, oh, I don't really like that? If you've not been to Gray's, I've heard it's really good. Okay, how many of you have been to Gray's, just out of curiosity? Okay, Alyssa, we're going to go to Gray's here soon. Hey, it's good food. Why wouldn't you want to get it? Would you delight in, how many of you delight in good food? Well, sure, you would go to it. A fool doesn't delight in something that's good for them, and that is instruction, understanding, no delight in it. Proverbs 1:22, another description of a fool. Proverbs 1:22, does someone want to read that right from your notes or from your Bible? Class participation, y'all. You can read again if you've already read once. That's okay. Proverbs 1:22. Yes, Miss Sherry. Okay, so right there you see, fools do what with knowledge? They hate it. They hate knowledge. And the question is asked, how long? And we'll be looking at the simple one next Sunday, and their question of loving simplicity, scorners delight in scorning. And fools, what is it that they are known for? They hate knowledge. Fools hate knowledge. Fools believe that they are always right, and everyone else is foolish. You'll find that they are constantly demeaning everyone else. In fact, I posted something this morning about the truth of the wisdom of God's word, and I expect that by this afternoon there will be a guy who will post on there online, God's not real. Okay? I just expect that he's going to say it again. Why? Because he is convinced that there is not knowledge to be found in what God says, and that that's foolishness to him. They hate it. They will despise it. Number two in your notes, number two on the back side of that sheet, a fool promotes foolishness, which is what posting God's not real is. It's a promotion of a foolish thing. Fools promote foolishness. Fools don't hide well. Do you know that? Fools don't hide well. Look at Proverbs 20 or 12, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 23. And one of our teenagers, why don't I get one of the teens to read this for us? You got it? Raise your hand up there. Proverbs 12, verse 23. Go ahead, Mary. Okay, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. You know, it's one thing to have foolish ideas and keep them to yourself. You know what the fool does by nature? He broadcasts them. He proclaims them. He wants others to join in his foolishness. He is, and I say he or she, is constantly espousing things, looking for others to join with them. And you see that in our culture today, don't you? are foolish ideas proclaimed boldly today? Well, yeah, yeah. They are proclaimed boldly. And does that ever intimidate people who have truth? Can it intimidate us? Can it make us feel like, wow, I don't know if I can say anything without being ridiculed? Of course you're going to be ridiculed. You aren't saying anything if you're not being ridiculed. I know that's harsh, but if you aren't saying something in the ears of fools, do I expect my son, James, at 2 years old, to agree with the things I teach him readily? Like, oh, Dad, I like this idea of going to bed. Do I expect him to love that? No. No. Do I expect him to love the idea of not putting his feet up on the table when he's at the he's in the high chair right now and his feet are, you know, pretty high right now? Can he put his feet up on the table if he wants to? Yes. Does he like the idea of being told, no, I don't want you to do this? No, he doesn't like that. But if he's doing that when he's 20, is that a good thing? No, it's not good when he's 2. But the idea is, the idea that a fool loves to proclaim their ideas, they want to boast of those ideas, even inside of the church. You know that there's a need for us to see that foolish things come up to the surface. They don't hide. That ought not make us scared. In fact, there are things that as a pastor, I'm going to see and I'm going to be, you know what? That is foolishness coming up that needs to be addressed. That doesn't mean I hate someone or need to make them feel like they're an idiot. Now, all of us are foolish at times, aren't we? Oh, wait. Let's try that again because I didn't see all of you nodding your head. All of us can be foolish at times. Yeah, even as adults. And a young Christian, shouldn't you expect more of that to still be there? Sure. And some of that foolishness will pop up at times, and it needs to be dealt with. And if it's not, it will continue to proclaim itself and pull others to it. That's what fools want, is to gain a following to foolishness. Proverbs 10, verse 14 says, "Wise men lay up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction." His mouth, what he's saying, is going to have a destructive effect, and it is being promoted. It is constantly spewing out things. His mouth is involved. It has been said, if a fool holds his peace, he may pass for a wise man. Have you heard that expression? Or maybe you've heard the expression, better to remain silent and be thought a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. Okay, what happens when you're quiet? Well, your foolishness is probably not going to spew out if there's foolishness there to be found. But when you open your mouth, guess what? If there's foolishness, yes.
This Proverbs 17:28 says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace,
yes,
is counted wise.
Yes.
He that shutteth his lips is esteemed a man of
understanding. Absolutely. The fact that a fool promotes foolishness, the quietness, the not saying of a thing, we'll be talking more about. There are so many of these verses that are going to keep coming up because you're going to see the overlap that takes place. When you keep your mouth closed, you're not acting like a fool. Fools open their mouth and say things when they shouldn't. By the way, have you ever let something out of your mouth and realized as soon as it came out, that should not have come out? You know what the best thing you'll do is? Admit right then and there to whoever you're with, what just came out of my mouth was foolish. I'm wrong. Oh, it may have felt good to say it, right? But it was foolish to say it, wasn't it? It was arrogant to say it. It wasn't the right thing at the right time. Many times, our mouths work faster than our minds. And the fool doesn't have a gate there that's very good. He is just letting it out. He is promoting foolishness in the way that he speaks. You ought to encourage your children to guard their mouth. We were talking about this on the way to church. And I'm not going to tell you the story. But the times I got my mouth washed out with soap when I was a kid. You're like, oh, your parents? Yes, they did. And I'm not going to tell you the story. Okay, we'll move on. But my mouth worked faster than my mind did, and that was not good for me. And I'm thankful for parents who dealt with that. And you say, do I have to use soap to do that? No, you don't have to use soap. But it was memorable. And I will tell you, you and I need to be recognizing that foolishness promotes foolishness. And it does so verbally. Fools spread foolishness. That's the next blank there to fill in. Fools spread foolishness. It is going out constantly. And the impact of wrong information that is shared with others can be costly. When a fool spreads something that's not true, when a fool gives information that's not correct information, that can have great costs. How many of you have ever heard of the Golden Ray, the ship called the Golden Ray? You probably read about this in 2019, off the coast of Georgia, there was a ship that capsized. It was full of cars. Some of you remember this story, perhaps? And it took days for them to get some of the, I think there were some crew that were trapped for a while. They had to cut a hole. And this ship sat off the coast of Georgia for over a couple of years because it just took so much time to salvage this thing. The reason this ship capsized and cost over $200 million in damages, the reason it capsized was because the ballast was not correctly laded. It needed to have a certain amount of weight in the ballast in the bottom of the ship, and the chief officer entered information into the computer for the ship that was incorrect information. And incorrect information into that ship's computer told him he didn't need as much water brought into the ballast as he actually needed. And when they turned, the bottom of the ship wasn't heavy enough, and the top of the ship was heavy, and guess what happens? Your boat flips. And with all of the expensive computers and technology to make that ship work, if you put the wrong information in, guess what's going to come out? Destructive effects. Now, if in the life of a person we let something foolish be promoted, and we don't say that's not true, will that have impact? It absolutely will. You have to recognize that foolish inputs, foolish information that's accepted will have an impact on others. In fact, we'll see that in just a minute. Number three, a fool has a pride problem. A fool has a pride problem. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 15. The word for fool that is most often found in Proverbs is a word that has to do with being silly or arrogant. That proud attitude. One of the most infamous phrases of childhood accidents is, "Hey guys, watch me do this." You ever heard someone say that? And then they get hurt right off. Showing off promotes foolishness. Proverbs 12, verse 15. You know what? I had you look up Proverbs 12, 23. Someone want to read Proverbs 12 and verse 23? Did I give the wrong verse there? Proverbs 12 and verse 23. Yeah. Okay, it says, oh, you know what? That's why. I'm looking at the wrong part of my notes still. That was the verse we already looked at the top of the page up there. Proverbs 12, verse 15. Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. A fool's right in whose own eyes? His own. His eyes, he has a pride problem. He thinks he is always right. Proverbs 14, verse 16. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is... Well, let's say that together. What does it say? He is confident. I know I'm right. And a certainty in error is what foolish thinking is. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3. Proverbs 14, 3 says, "In the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride." And we're filling in each of these blanks here. A rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. That pride that is there in the heart of someone that is in foolishness keeps coming up. The fool listens to himself. That's the next blank to fill in there. He listens to himself. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool, Proverbs 28, 26 says. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool. What does Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 say? Trust in the with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. The direct opposite of foolish thinking is to trust in the Lord. The direct opposite of foolish ways of operating is to trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. What do I know about my own heart and my own understanding? according to, I don't think I put it in your notes, Jeremiah 17:9. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. What do you know about your heart? Just trust your heart. You ever heard people say things like that? I'm just going to trust my feelings.
Follow your heart.
That's the one I was looking for. Follow your heart. What an encouraging thing to say. Follow your heart's desires. Well, who's directing your heart? You know, if the Lord is directing your heart, can you follow your heart in that sense? Yeah. But who is directing your heart? That's what matters. Are you just at the whim of your desires without God directing those desires? Psalm 37, delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give thee the desires of thy heart. Well, if my delight is in God, guess what kind of things I'm going to want? The things God wants, and God wants me to have those things that he wants. If I put my heart's desires into, well, I want this, and I want this, and I am not directed by God, I should be expecting problems to follow. Proverbs 5, verse 23 says, he shall die without instruction, and in the greatness of his folly, he shall go astray. So, have you ever seen someone who won't take directions, and they're just kind of like wandering around? I don't know what to do. I don't know where I'm going. That's the picture. That's the picture of the person who is in folly, who is not taking direction. And then finally, number four, a fool hurts others. A fool hurts others. I kind of alluded to that earlier. But Proverbs 15, verse 20. Proverbs 15, verse 20. You may know this verse. I've got most of it there in your blank. A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother. Okay, so glad father, unloved mother. Is that a good position to be in, an unloved mother? No. You know, one of the most hurtful things that can take place is when a child, especially, it says a foolish man, so he's no longer a child, he's an adult, acts in a way that is, I don't love my mom and what she said at all. That's hurtful, isn't it? That's very painful. But that exists when someone follows the path of foolishness. They don't love those that they should, those that they ought to. Proverbs 13, verse 20, he that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. Destroyed. You know, if I hang with foolish people, what should I expect? Destruction. I should expect that foolish things cause harm, not just for the fool himself, but for the people that follow him as well. Now, that's a real quick look at the fool. Any observations? And I think we've got a couple minutes. I want you all to interact on this. Any thoughts on foolishness from what you've seen? Yes?
I see stuff on Facebook. I'll check it a couple times. But people are constantly putting things, and, you know, most of them I just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's, you know, not worth it. Sometimes I can't resist the temptation.
Yeah.
And I use quite often Proverbs 28, 26.
Mm-hmm.
He that trusts, you know, everything will follow your dreams.
Yes. Yes.
But it's vain and folly.
Right.
It's not biblical.
Right. And foolishness is promoted easily on the internet. Have you noticed that? I will tell you, if I know a person and they put up something that's not even a spiritual thing, but something, a conspiracy. See the smile on my face? A conspiracy that they believe is actually something that's happened, but you can look this up and know that didn't actually happen. I will message them personally and say, you know, you ought to look at this because I think you're espousing something that's foolish. That's important for us to do in a loving way, because if we never challenge someone's foolishness, they will keep going in foolishness. We live in a time of great amount of conspiracies. What do people love about conspiracies? Well, they love what may be, but they don't know. And foolishness is bound up in that. Sarah?
Yeah, that is true.
And there's like the double on that one. We may talk about that next time, right? Sometimes the fool and the person that's espousing it, you're going to find out very quickly if they're the fool that you can't teach or if they're the person that needs to come out of foolishness. And so while it's true, you may not think, well, I don't want to answer them because they're just going to ridicule it. There is a need for us. Do I teach my children in their foolishness? Do I call that out? Of course. But, and we'll talk about that verse in the future because it says both. Don't answer a fool, and then it says answer a fool. Which is it? We'll have to talk about that more next week. There is a time to answer the fool and to confront it. And there will be a point at which you can confront and confront and confront, and they will not care. And you're wasting your breath, as it were, to try after a certain point. Have you ever dealt with someone that they just got to the point, they don't care, and you're not going to change them, they're not going to listen, they've just decided. We've got an opportunity to be communicators of truth in a foolish time. Any others? I know I'm giving you all a little bit of a chance here to talk. It's good for us to think of this discussion and maybe even come to class next week with questions. All right? And thinking about the fool. I want you to consider as you go through this week how many times you see foolishness. Sometimes we see it, but we wouldn't say, oh, that's foolishness. I want to challenge you throughout this week, even in your own heart, call it foolishness when it pops up. If there's an arrogance or pride that is saying, I don't need to be taught, or I don't think I need to have something,